Thank you, Kristen, for sharing that beautiful message about trusting God in all circumstances. My name is Kent, and I'm one of the pastors here, and I have a prayer for you, and my prayer is that the Lord would be with you. We're going to be thinking about the Ten Commandments. We've already been talking about loving the law and following the law and how precious the law is, but I'm curious if you know the law, especially even the Ten Commandments. So what I'd like you to do is talk to your neighbor. See how many of the Ten Commandments you can come up with. If you're not into talking, maybe you just want to make a little mental list, count them out on your fingers, make notes in your bulletin, whatever. Just a few minutes. See how many of the Ten Commandments you can name. Go. How's it going? Are you Googling them, Jack Ulmer? Okay. Yeah. How many are you? Can you get all of them? 10? 5? 3? This is like, I remember Greek class when the professor would call on us and everybody would put their heads down. No one would look. Okay, we're going to read them, all 10 of them, from Deuteronomy chapter 5. So if you have a Bible, I'd like to invite you to open up your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, there's some Bibles in the chairs you can use, or you can use your phone now, Jack, to open up the app and look at the Bible. There's a really great Bible on the church app. So turn to Deuteronomy chapter 5. So we're in the Old Testament, still near the beginning. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And the fifth chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 5. We're going to start reading with verse 1. Deuteronomy 5, 1. Moses summoned all Israel and said, "Hear, Israel, the decrees and laws I declare in your hearing today. Learn them and be sure to follow them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us at Horeb. It was not with our ancestors that the Lord made this covenant, but with us, with all of us who are alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face out of the fire on the mountain. At that time I stood between the Lord and you to declare to you the word of the Lord, because you were afraid of the fire and did not go up the mountain. And God said, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath by keeping it holy. As the Lord your God has commanded you, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord is giving to you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his male or female servant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. These are the commandments that the Lord proclaimed in a loud voice to your whole assembly there on the mountain from out of the fire, the cloud, and the deep darkness, and he added nothing more. Then he wrote them on 2 stone tablets and gave them to me." This is God's word, and it's true, and we can rely on it. Okay, if you were having a little trouble earlier recalling all 10 of those, you are not alone. There's been lots of surveys taken about this, and one of them discovered that Americans can recall the 7 ingredients of the Big Mac much better than they can recall the 10 commandments. This survey found that 80% of the people who were surveyed could identify 2 all-beef patties as the main ingredient, but less than 60% of them could get "thou shalt not kill," which was the commandment that was recalled the most often. Less than half the respondents, about 45% of them, could recall the commandment to honor your father and mother, but 62% of us knew that a Big Mac has a pickle. The other commandments were remembered at a rate of less than 30%, so less than 1 out of 3 of us could name any of the other commandments. We took a little survey on the Cedar Hills Church app question a couple weeks ago, and we discovered that most of us who took that survey could name somewhere between 4 and 7 of the 10 commandments. And the one that we were most likely to be able to name here within our church was, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." So I watched a number of kind of on-the-street interviews this week about this, where they go out there and they just find the average Joe Q public and they ask them, "What do you tell me about the 10 commandments? Can you name them?" They found, not surprisingly, that most of them could not name them. Many could not even name one. But when they were asked, "What were you supposed to do about the commandments?" everybody said the same thing. They all said, "Well, you're supposed to obey them." So they had a sense that they were supposed to follow these commandments even though they didn't know them, which raises a really good question, doesn't it? How can you follow them if you don't know them? And then the reality on other surveys is that people actually, even when they do know them, they still don't follow them. So this is another survey, but they found that 74% of people who knew the commandment, "Thou shalt not steal," still said, "I see nothing wrong with stealing from those who won't really miss it." Those who knew that there was a commandment, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," of those who knew that commandment, 53% of them said, "I would cheat on my spouse if given the chance." "Thou shalt not bear false witness." 64% of those said, "I will stretch the truth if it suits me." So it seems to me that maybe the Ten Commandments should come with like an addendum or like an appendix or something. Like, okay, yeah, well, don't bear false witness unless, and then you got some options, maybe some escape clauses. In fact, the current research on this is actually kind of stunning about truth-telling. The fact of the matter isn't, do we lie? The question is, how often do we lie every day? And this is kind of across the board with people who claim to be Christians and not Christians. In fact, one of the researchers discovered that on the average, we lie about 38 times a day. One of the researchers did a little project, and he found that in a 10-minute conversation, 62% of the adults told a lie within 10 minutes. So we must not have a very high standard for truth-telling. So one of my questions today is, why do we not keep the Ten Commandments? Why don't we follow them? And it seems to me like there's at least 2 options why we don't obey. It's a question of skill or will. So I got 2 columns when I'm thinking about obedience. The first one is, do I have the skill to do it? And one of the main ingredients necessary in order for me to have the skill is I have to know what the commandment is. If I don't know what it is, there's no way I can develop the skill of, if I don't know that I'm supposed to tell the truth, why would I develop the skill of telling the truth? In fact, this passage that we're looking at in Deuteronomy, Moses, when he's giving these commandments to the people, if you look at the verses right after and right before this passage, Moses is very insistent that these people are supposed to take these commandments and they're supposed to become part of their everyday routine. So they're supposed to talk about them when they rise up in the morning and when they go down at night. They're supposed to talk about them when they're sitting at home and when they're walking along the way. They're supposed to have these commandments kind of ever before their eyes. Moses is talking about skill here. He's saying, you got to know these commandments. They have to be part of your psyche. And I imagine that as they're rehearsing these commandments and telling each other what they are, that they're also rehearsing instances of where they see this happening. So they say, oh, look over there. There's somebody who has been truth-telling. We see someone telling the truth. Look over here. Here is somebody who is keeping the Sabbath day. We're observing them. We know we're supposed to do it, but now we're watching them and we're learning how we're supposed to do it. They're developing this skill as they go. This passage is very clear that one reason why we might not keep the commandments is because we just don't know them. So, in your little discussions a few minutes ago, did you know the Ten Commandments? Be honest. If you don't know them, you can't keep them. So I don't know what you want to do about that. You would have a choice to make. Well, if I want to know them, I can learn them. Now we've just moved from the skill column into the will column. Will you choose to learn them? Will you put some effort into that? Will you make a decision that says, yeah, I want to know these. I want to understand these. I want to follow these. That's a question of your will. Once you know them, am I going to obey? What percentage of commandment breaking do you think is a matter of the will? It's like willful disobedience. I know what I'm supposed to do, but I don't do it. What percentage of disobedience do you think is a matter of the will? Guess? More than half? 80%? 90%? 95%? My instinct is the same. I don't have any research on this, so you're safe making any guess you want to make. But my hunch is that our disobedience is largely a matter of the will. Once we know what we're supposed to do, do we choose to do it? And the survey I shared earlier was that we don't. Even though I know lying is wrong, I still decide I'm going to lie. In fact, one of the most common lies is the answer to the question, how are you doing today? How do you answer that? Fine. Does it matter how you are, really? No. They did a little research on that, actually, and they found that 92% of the people will say, I'm fine, even when they're not. Truth or lie? Okay. So what are we going to do about this? Oh, I guess I had another question before that. Do you think God cares about why you're disobedient? If it's a matter of skill, I just didn't know I was supposed to obey, versus I knew I was supposed to obey and I willfully disobeyed. If skill or will, do you think God cares why I disobeyed? No, I don't think so. The scriptures are pretty clear about this too. Jesus said, be perfect as my heavenly Father is perfect. So if I'm not perfect, does it matter how I got there? If I'm not perfect, I'm not perfect. I've disobeyed. Okay, so that's kind of my mindset on this. Disobedience is disobedience. Sin is sin. It doesn't matter how I got there. Now, if you're wired even a little bit like me, this is a bummer. Because I suspect that there is quite a list of things I'm supposed to do that I still haven't discovered, that I don't know I'm supposed to do. And so there could be this lack of skill, lack of knowledge. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. But I know this for a fact. There is a massive list of things I do know that I'm supposed to do, and I still choose not to do them. That's a bummer. Okay. Bottom line is this. I have trouble keeping all of God's rules. And I think that this is probably part of the human condition. Ever since the fall, we've been wired as people to say, I can't keep all of God's rules. I have trouble keeping his rules. I have trouble obeying. So what are we supposed to do about this? I'm going to share one thing that has helped me maybe the most in dealing with my disobedience and the reality that I willfully disobey. Here's the thing that's helped me most. My relationship with God is not based on keeping rules. And I have to tell myself this every day. Sometimes I have to remind myself of this multiple times within a few hours. My relationship is not based on keeping rules. The relationship precedes the rules. And this passage we're looking at is a beautiful illustration of this. Remember the context of these words from Deuteronomy chapter 5, which these, by the way, are actually repeated from Exodus 34. So if you're following along historically where this falls into place, Exodus 34 is where Moses receives these commandments on the mountain the first time. Deuteronomy 5 is a review of this. But let's understand the context. God made a perfect world, and he put people in it, gave them one rule to follow, and they broke it. Ever since that day, the world has been broken, and people have been disobedient to God. God was not deterred by this. Instead, God says, I'm going to pursue these broken people. I'm going to pursue these disobedient people, and nothing will stop me from this pursuit. I'm going to continue to pursue them. And he actually pursued some particular people, one of them named Abram, and he made a covenant with them, which is a promise. He said, I'm going to promise you that you will be blessed, and through you, your descendants, and then eventually all people will be blessed through you. I make this promise with you. And then God said, I know you can't keep this covenant because you'll disobey me. I'll keep the covenant for you. I'll keep your part as well as mine. And then God extends this covenant to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then to Moses. And then God delivers his disobedient people. And more than a dozen times throughout this process of him delivering God's children, the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, more than a dozen times, God specifically addresses these disobedient children as my people. These are my people, God says. One of the most beautiful expressions is from Exodus chapter 6. God says, I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you up out of Egypt, out of this yoke of slavery. So by the time God hears his people cry out, by the time they flee from Egypt, by the time they go across the Red Sea, by the time they enter the wilderness, by the time they get to the mountain, by the time Moses goes up on the mountain and receives these Ten Commandments, by that time, God has already decided one thing. They're his people. God's deliverance has already been given to them. God's presence has already been guiding them. The relationship came before the rules. And then God says to them, well, since you're my people, I want to say something about how you're going to live. Then he gives them the rules. I feel really strong about this because so often as people, we are wired to kind of default to what I would call a religious mindset. And the religious mindset tells me I have to measure up in order to be accepted. I have to fall in line. I have to obey. I have to be good enough in order for you to accept me. And this mindset is just also wired into us. So we keep thinking that we have to keep all these rules or God won't love us. This is good news if you're here today and you're not a Christian. You don't yet believe in Christ. And you might be sitting there and you might be thinking, you're the kind of person who's like, I'm so bad, God could never love me. I'm such a rotten guy. I'm such a rotten gal. God could never forgive me. God wouldn't want anything to do with me. So if you're sitting here today and you're thinking, you have behaved so badly that God could never love you, this is good news to you because the relationship precedes the rule-keeping. It comes first. And it comes because this God who loves us is constantly pursuing us and pursued all of us, including me, long before I ever thought about obeying him. The New Testament expression of this comes from Paul, where Paul says, while you were still sinners, Christ died for you. God did not wait for the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to get their act together. He didn't wait for them to obey everything perfectly. He went out and he loved them. He established a covenant with them and he said, you're my people. Relationship precedes rules. And this is good news for us today if we've already come to faith in God, those of us who are believers here today. If you were sitting there today thinking, you know what, this week you crossed the line one too many times. This week I gave into that addiction one more time. This week I did something so bad, I don't know if God can still love me. The good news is your relationship with God isn't based on your keeping rules. The relationship came before the rules. Now my kids are grown now. Some of you remember when they were running around here, little toe-headed kids. When my kids were little in my home, I made rules for them, right? They're my kids. I could not make rules for your kids, though sometimes I might have thought I wanted to. I could make rules for my kids because they belong to me. And then we worked on these, so we actually would have times when we were going to go do some special activity and I needed them to be on exceptional behavior. We would do like a review in the car, like, is this acceptable? And they would go, no, that's not acceptable. And I'd throw in a, you know, good thing, like, is it nice to be polite and kind? Yeah, that's acceptable. So they could review these rules from time to time. And then when we go off to do this special activity and my kids disobeyed my rules, they were no longer my kids. Right? No. They never stopped being my kids. But I had an expectation for how we would live as a family, and even if they didn't obey it, they didn't get kicked out of the family. The rules come after the relationship. This is something that helps me remember God's love for me when I have a problem obeying. The relationship came first. We belong to God because God says, I am your God and you are my people. And because you are my people, God has something to say about how we'll live, which leads to some other, I think, very good news, and that is this. The rules actually reveal God's promises. The rules are actually good for us. They show us something really important about God. Now, in my Bible, the words 10 commandments show up 5 times. That's it. 2 of them are headings that the publisher put in to help me navigate my Bible. So 3 times the word 10 commandments is in my Bible. Exodus 34:28, Deuteronomy 4:13, and Deuteronomy 10:4. In these 3 instances, the words 10 commandments come together. So I went and looked at that, and I discovered that the word commandment literally means sayings. So another way to translate this, if you're going to translate it literally, would be 10 sayings. 10 words from God. Okay? It often has the connotation of something that's being commanded of you, but it doesn't mean that literally, which got me thinking about it. If we thought of these as the 10 sayings of God, would it change our relationship to them? Listen to this, the passage from Exodus 34:28. Moses introduces the 10 sayings with these words. Moses was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights without eating bread or drinking water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the 10 sayings. Now, your Bibles are all going to say 10 commandments. But if you read it literally, it says the words of the covenant, 10 sayings. You see what God, Moses is writing here? He's writing about God's promise, which comes in the covenant. He's writing about these things that God is offering up to his people, that as you live as my people, these are things that you could enjoy. These are things I'm inviting you into. This is life with God. That's what he's saying in these things. And this is where I really get geeked out about this, because if you jump fast forward to Matthew 5:17, Jesus is talking about the law, not specifically the Ten Commandments, but about all of God's law. And he says, I did not come to abolish the law, but I came to fulfill it. So now if you think about this as promises, you think of this. Jesus came not to get rid of these sayings, but to say, look, in me, all of these promises come true. You get to experience all of this. You get to enjoy all of this. You get to live all of this because Jesus says, in me, they're fulfilled. This is amazing good news. Because it also helps me remember that my life with God is not dependent on my rule-keeping, but it was dependent on somebody keeping the rules. And the somebody who kept them all was Jesus, with perfect obedience, fulfilling everything that God asked him to do. And then he dies on a cross and he gives his life for me so that I can be given his obedience, so that I can walk with God and I can enjoy all these promises of life with God. This is the best good news that we could hear as people who have trouble keeping rules. Then I came across a blog. Actually, Alan sent me this blog. So these are not my ideas, but these are somebody else's ideas of how we could maybe reframe these 10 commandments as sayings, as promises, and how that might shape our walk with God a little bit more. These are listed in your blue sermon sheet if you want to pull them out and follow them along. 10 promises that this blogger thought related to the 10 commandments. Promise 1, you do not have to live in constant disappointment anymore. That's related to there's only one God. Number two, you can be free from rituals and religion and trust in a relationship. That's the commandment, don't have any idols. Okay, see how this works? You can trust in a name that is above every name. You can rest. Your family does not have to fall apart. You do not have to live in a constant state of anger because you will be motivated by love, not hate. You do not have to live a life dominated by the guilt, pain, and shame associated with sexual sin. I will provide for you. You do not have to pretend. I will be enough. Now, some of you click into this right away, and you're already imagining how these 10 promises line up with those 10 commandments. But I'm going to give you an assignment. Because, first of all, I think you all have the skill to do this. We've been practicing dwelling in the Word, and that means that we go to the Word and we read it, and then maybe we say it out loud, then we maybe write it, maybe we pray it. Some of us have been singing Scripture. So we've got to do all these things to help this Word dwell in us. So go back to Deuteronomy chapter 5 and dwell in those 10 commandments that are listed there. And then right alongside of that, lay these 10 promises. And I'm going to trust that you'll do this and the power of the Holy Spirit will help you understand how do these promises come out of these commandments? And if you looked at them as promises, would it change the way you live? Would it change your heart? Would it change your attitudes? Would it change the course of your life? I think it would. So I think you have the skill to do this. The question will be if you have the will to do it. So you'll have to take that up with God and decide if you want to do something like this. I think it could be very profitable for you. And I do believe that the Holy Spirit is active and working in each one of us so that we can understand these 10 sayings of God and see how they shape our lives. And God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. These 10 commandments rise up out of a very personal context where God says, I am your God. You are my people. And in the context of that relationship, we understand that came before the rules came. But now that the rules are here, we start to understand that these rules are actually pointing us to the promise of what it's like for us to live in God's kingdom. If we do not know God as the God of promises, then the 10 commandments become an impossible burden for us to keep. If we do know God as the God of promises, then the 10 sayings give us a beautiful invitation to live the kind of life that God desires for us to live. I'm going to pray now and ask God to guide us into living that way. So let's pray. Lord God, giver of every good gift, we thank you for the gift of your law. Oh, how I love your law, O Lord. Your law preserves our life. Your law is true. Your law is eternal. Your law guides us. We confess, God, that we have not always obeyed your law, that we often have trouble with obedience. But we rejoice now in the promise that the one who lives according to your law finds great riches. We rejoice in the promise that the one who follows your law finds great peace. The one who follows your law does not stumble. So, God, we wait for you to continue to reveal your commandments and your laws and your statutes. God, we wait to hear your promises for us. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit who is at work to help us love them greatly. And we will give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.